Hello everybody, welcome back to Access Point, a podcast dedicated to video game discovery and telling the stories of the people who make them. My name's Richard, and with me as always is Stuart. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. There you go. Simple.
Yeah, it's a simple day, so to speak. Recording this mid-morning here, wherever I am, and got my cup of coffee, which I imagine you have too.
Absolutely.
So let's let's have a chat about all things video games.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna jump into some games that we've been playing. I think.
Yeah. Let's have a chat. I mean, because there's been a few things of interest to talk about. Steam, for example, banning NFTs. Although I think personally that's outside my area of expertise.
Yeah,
so same here. I'm not sure I can add too much value to that overall conversation. Although we could try, but I think we may lose the audience as quickly as we're finding them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had a look at lots of news this week, and of course, there's always news going on, but nothing that particularly jumped out at me. So rather than just shoehorn some news in for you, we thought we'd just jump straight into what the hell we've been playing.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's been another really interesting week for new video games. And I've played a lot. I've also been dabbling an awful lot with video game making engines, because I know we've discussed in the past, or I've been open about it on the channel, about how I wanted to make kind of my own video games as well. Not only just for the sake of, you know, potentially doing something really cool, but having a better understanding of how video games are made. So we can actually have a look at what's going on under the engines and which engines is better. And I've played actually an awful lot this week with Sony's Dreams.
Ah, yes.
I don't know if you've had too much of a go at that at all.
Nothing at all. I've been following your tweets and your posts about that. So, but I couldn't tell you a single thing about that.
So at the moment, it's also on sale. It's on sale for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. I think it's 60% off at the moment. And I'd picked it up a little while ago, but I really made 20 hours last week and this week to just sit down and go through the engine and try and make something playable. And do you know what? It, as an engine, it is sublime. It just is so easy to create and build things. It took me hours and hours to do very basic things within Unity. And I come from a C# background. But this Dreams is all visual scripting, and it's all done very intuitively. As long as you look after the tutorials, you really need to go in. I thought I was going to be all, I don't need to look at those things. I'll just jump straight in. And then it bit me in the backside very, very quickly. But having done the tutorials, I had the character running around, jumping, interacting.
Wow.
Zooming about the place. I did a little narrative game as well. It is as I said, it's a versatile, wonderful engine. And with one caveat which stops me going all in.
Oh no. It's £100,000 to buy.
No, it costs that's less than 30 quid.
Oh, okay, wow.
So
right, okay.
It's nothing. And the caveat is that it's just Sony at the moment. And you just can't get the games off the platform. For the games that I would create or want to create, Steam, Humble, GOG, Itch is going to be my main audience. And at the moment, you're limited to the Sony store. And based on what Sony seem to be doing with indies, and they're well-publicized of late, we don't know how to get our games into a wider audience. Well, that's simple. You put it on PC. Yeah. Can I be your MD now, please? It's just an absolute worry of mine that I could sink hundreds of hours. Because I know the guy, Elka Gaming, who's doing a Avatar-inspired game. He hit big 2 years ago with a couple of videos that IGN picked up upon. And he's actually got some cast members of the original animated series on board to help do his voice acting. He's put in 3,000 or more hours into that game so far.
Wow.
But is it only ever going to be limited to a very small store? Aside from the copyright IP things, the fact that he's doing an Avatar game anyway, but apparently he has sat down. The legal suits did get hold of him. They had a conference call, and it started off going, no, cease and desist, to, okay, rename it, make sure everybody knows it's a fan-inspired piece of work, okay. And we'll keep knocking on your door every now and again. That's what I understand. So, Elke, I know you listen to this podcast. So if I am wrong, please drop us an email. Get in contact with us via the accesspoint.gg website, which is now up and running. And we're going to be using that website as well, alongside our Twitter, to just kind of keep everybody updated as to what we're doing. So yeah, I mean, Dreams would be my ideal engine, but I think I'm going to stick to Unity like many other people, simply because it's been around forever. The Unity community is amazing in terms of the support and help you can get. And I'm going to probably not use scripting code. I'll probably use their Visual Studio, which is like UML, so Unified Markup Language, where you actually, I'm going to call it painting the pictures via dragging and dropping boxes of code. So
that sounds better.
I did a bad, that's not the best explanation, but I've tried my best there.
Yeah, I mean,
I should get you coding as well. We should get you trying to do your own game as well.
Well, do you know what I did? There was I did a stream and there was a company saying that they would basically let you create a game using Unity, and with their sort of plugin or add-on, whatever it was, it was all drag and drop, the whole thing. There was not a line of code to type.
Yeah, okay.
And it was all, you know, like pre-built little libraries that you could pull in and stuff. Yep. And after the end of the stream, okay, it was chaos. But I actually had created like a 3D world.
Yes.
And I had like vehicles and stuff running around. I was like, oh my God. So I have to, I'll try and dig out the name of the company or the software, whatever I was doing.
It wasn't Bolt, was it?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Okay.
That doesn't ring a bell. But I'll try and dig it out, and I'll leave a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. But hey, I can't code anything, and I did have a 3D world with characters and cars. So
yeah, brilliant. We'll stick a link to the Dreams engine as well down below if you want to have a look at it.
Yeah.
It's not just a game engine as well. I mean, people are creating animation, short films.
Oh, nice.
I think at the moment there's an entire animated series of 13 shows being done within the engine. It's incredible. And I just, A, wish it was on PC, and B, there was a roadmap that said in X number of years' time, you can export this to other places, because I'd be all over it.
That's the thing.
Not a question.
The old way of gaming and the gaming world of, this is our platform, this is what we've created. If you want to play other stuff, go and buy another console. We're way past that now. You can't be creating stuff to sit on your own platform, because there's so many other options. Like Unity.
There are.
Unity runs on everything.
Yeah.
And if you've got people trying to port stuff off of Dreams, and they're going to be trying to port it over, even if they're allowed, I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
No one's going to use it. As simple as that.
No, it's one of the things as well. I'm going to dabble here and there when Playdate gets released, as and when. I mean, we're rocking towards the end of October now, and there's no word on when this Q4 launch is going to happen.
Yeah,
so
I don't know what, you know, Playdate. I was so excited about the Playdate. I mean,
I know you were.
Oh, yeah. My God.
We spoke about this.
Yeah.
We were both planning on thinking about doing another channel aside from our main one just to talk about Playdate.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I know, fingers crossed, I'm very lucky. I'm one of the few people in the UK who has one coming their way.
Yeah.
Simply because of what happened when the pre-orders went up.
Yeah, yeah. Say no more about that.
I know you were a little bit grumpy that day.
Still am. What are you talking about?
Some of your tweets to Playdate were just like
aggressive.
Disgruntled of Tunbridge Wells. Proper middle English. How dare you?
How dare you? Yeah, it was. And again, like I said, when they sent me the follow-up email to say, not sorry, but to sort of try and...
It was a shame.
Oh my God. I was just like, they can't be sending me this email. Is this a joke? I thought it was a spam email from someone else. Horrendous.
You know, it was one of those things where clearly they underestimated. Well, maybe they didn't, but their hosts who were looking after the European side of the ordering process thought, "Bah, we'll be fine. Well, this isn't going to fall over." And funnily enough, it did.
It did.
Because Panic know how to market their stuff. And when Playdate does come, I'm going to be looking at the SDK to make a few games in that. I mean, Lucas Pope's building a game for it.
Absolutely.
So they've got the marbles, as it were. So I'll have a play. And that's all browser-based. So it should be super easy to get something up and running. And I think the community aspect of Playdate is where it will come and where it's going to be super niche. There's only 20,000 coming in the first drop, which sounds like nothing, and it relatively is nothing. But the community hopefully will drive that
piece of
hardware forwards, or it'll come explode in a nice firework display and then drop to the ground.
I hope
it maintains, but you know.
The problem is like, okay, you get hold of one, that's great. But who are you going to talk to about it? Because nobody's got one. So
nobody in the UK will have one.
Yeah.
I think the community will be limited to the places that were able to get it, which is the US. And I think the part of the greatness or potential greatness of this is actually the fact that you'll all be playing the games at exactly the same time. Is there the benefit of coming back to the game 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks or 2 months later?
Yeah.
Maybe, but I think the buzz will be there that everybody's playing the game over the same period.
That's what I was excited about, sending tweets out, sharing stuff about what we're all playing. But again, this can't happen now because it's only 20,000. That's like a League One football game. It's crowd. That's all it is.
So for our majority of our American listeners, I'm guessing what's that, minor league baseball?
Yeah, it's just like, it's insane. Anyway, that's the play date. We'll come back to that. Once you get hold of one, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that on this podcast and also on the main channels, the Get Indie Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And trouble is, as I said, it's towards the end of October. The demo units were supposed to be out at some point, I believe. They're not out. So fingers crossed there's nothing going on behind the scenes that we don't yet know about. But what else? I mean, I've talked about my dreams of building a game, but what else tickled your fancy? And I'm going to stop using that phrase because I got told off for it last week.
Tickled my fancy?
So,
you said it now, it's too late.
So British. I might as well say oopsie daisies or other such Britishisms.
Totally off subject, I ordered a new microphone. Oh my God, I got addicted.
No way.
Yeah, I couldn't help myself. I listened to some audio samples of this new microphone and I was just like, oh my God, I need to buy it. So, but that's not here yet.
That's cool. What did you get?
It's an Earthworks Icon Pro.
Okay. No idea. I'll have to go and look at that. I'm old school Shure SM, whatever it is.
7B, yeah.
That's the one. Everybody's got it.
It is, yeah.
It's all hooked up into an enhancer underneath this table.
Yeah.
So it's all done via tin. I don't use any software. I'm so old school. I cannot be bothered with plugins. It is pure knobs, dials, levers.
You're Morse coding all the signals over, are you?
Essentially, yeah. If I could use Carrier Pigeon, I probably would. Having recently hit the old age that is 44.
Oh, yes, of course. So, happy birthday for... What day was that? Friday, wasn't it?
It was last week, yes.
Yeah.
So
belated.
I had a couple of pints and remembered why I don't ever have pints. Because the next day it was like my head had fallen off and I was sitting at the my workstation going, just end it.
Right, last week,
mm.
you mentioned you were playing a secret game that you couldn't talk about. It was under embargo, wasn't it?
It was under embargo, and that embargo has now lifted as this video goes up, and it is from the ever wonderful Daniel Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
So think Pony Island, think all those kind of weirdness and wonderfulness, and I have put in 15 or so hours into Inscription.
Aha.
Which is a card-based game, but it's also it's a roguelike. There's escape room kind of things in there as well. But there's psychological horror in there that ticks along with you. And when you finish playing, walk away from the PC, it taps you on the shoulder and says, hello, I'm still with you. You're going to be thinking about me and this game for the next couple of hours. And I tell you what, it's not going to be particularly comfortable.
Oh.
But what it does is so weird and it's so odd that it's really difficult to describe without spoiling it or just saying things that I think people should go into this game not knowing. I really, really enjoyed it. And it's one of the sort of things that I think a live stream could go either way. It'll either give you too many secrets or you'll just go all in on it. And I'm going to have a look at some of my favorite streamers, I think, later today once I'm done with the work. But it's dark. It's just eerie and creepy in all of the best sort of ways that it can do. And it's full of secrets. And there's one bit or a few bits in the game where I actually thought I was stuck. I didn't know what I was doing. And I think, again, this is Daniel Mullins, so he does that sort of stuff. But at one point I thought, I don't know what's going on. And then you actually have to kind of take time away from the game, think about it, and then you realize the key to moving the story on is actually using some of the things you might see around the table where things are being played out. Plus, it's just awfully eerie when your cards start talking to you and start asking for things and demanding things. And you can kind of see the cards as well in your fellow player across the table, all slightly shivering. And you can just see the emphasis is on them kind of feeling uncomfortable. And that's just the best way of describing this game. It's brilliant. I think it's going to be game of the year for many people.
Oh, really? Wow.
I started looking at some of the reviews that had come in from Eurogamer, and people are calling it essential. Rock Paper Shotgun called it, you know, their best bits. And again, it's just classic Devolver Digital, how they keep bringing out banger after banger.
They've signed some sort of deal with some sort of devil, haven't they? Because whatever they're doing, I don't know how they're doing it. It's incredible.
It's interesting because as well, I was speaking to a few other reviewers earlier towards the end of last week, where I was expressing my concern that I wasn't gelling with this game. And a few other people were as well. And we all came to the conclusion that it was just something that Daniel Mullins was trying to do in terms of creating a vibe that you didn't quite know what was going on, where it was headed, where it was leading even. But if you haven't played this game, go over to the Steam homepage. There's a demo which is still up as this podcast goes up on air. And it's a really good overview of this game and what it delivers. And I can't recommend it enough. I really can't. Will it be my game of the year? I don't think it will be. That's earmarked for one particular standout game. Death's Door. But you never know. You never know. It might change. But I think it's going to be up at the pointy end, definitely. And Daniel Mullins, genius. He is one of these people that whenever you see something, you think, or I personally think, you know, this is going to be good. And this really does not disappoint.
Okay, I'll check it out. It does look, again, I don't know anything about it. I've just looked at the website now and what you've mentioned about it. And the word atmosphere is what comes across straight away. It just looks so dark and moody and...
Yeah,
lovely.
I played it as well, knowingly, in a completely dark, pitch black room with my with my PC that apparently, even though it kind of runs by itself and can hover, it doesn't support Windows 11. I
haven't met a PC that can run Windows 11 yet. Everybody's just saying, no, you don't qualify.
The notification was so rude as well. It just popped up. You know, this does not support Windows 11. It's
like, I wasn't asking.
No. So I've got a 3080 GPU. I've got so much RAM in there. I've got everything I need to basically power NASA. And it does not support Windows 11. So that's one application that will not be going onto that PC. And I'll be staying with what I've got for as long as I possibly can. What about yourself? What did you play last week?
Well, again, I played a little bit of New World again, the MMO. It's really good. It's really good. But if you're new to MMOs, I think you'll find it quite hard. I don't think it's for new MMO players. I think it's not like a classic MMO. It's quite advanced. Like, it doesn't really explain an awful lot. You kind of got to know what the MMO structure is like to really understand it, I think.
Okay.
But really, really good. I highly recommend everyone check it out. It's very good. I'm enjoying it.
So that's a genre I tend to not gel with too often. And it's the sort of thing that I should examine a little bit more. Why don't I? So you wouldn't recommend me popping into that?
I would, but I think you'd probably need someone to play with for an hour or two just to understand about the crafting and, I mean, obviously the fetch quests and stuff are obvious, but I just think because you can kind of go anywhere, it's not really rigid like some MMOs where they just like take you town to town and you just level up and go to each town. You can just wander off in a direction and just get slaughtered in one hit. You know, oh Christ, what's happened here? And not understanding the level jumps and what gear you need. You know what I mean? So it's really good, but I think it's a sharp learning curve if you've never played one.
I think the last MMO I really got, is it an MMO? I suppose it is in some ways, was No Man's Sky. I spent an awful long time playing that. And since it's been updated 15, 16 times since it came out 4 or 5 years ago, there's a cracking game under there. It's still, you know, it launched how it launched. And bless the guys at Hello Games. They did a really good marketing job, as did Sony. And then when that popped out, everybody went, oh, okay. Not quite oven baked. But yeah. To their credit, obviously, they've done so much post work on that game.
Yeah, I still never played it.
You never played it?
Never played it.
It's how I started on YouTube.
I remember. Well, I don't think I saw any videos of you doing it, but I remember you talking about that's how you started. And
yeah, it was based on overviews of what we knew about the game, and then realizing, I mean, all this time passed, that everything that we did was possibly a little bit too much towards the hype train, which is why what I'm trying to do with Get Indie Gaming is reverse it from being a branch of a developer's PR tool, which I think it has been in some cases. But that's taking time. I've also had a couple of weeks off, which is nice, and it's nice to be back. But new schedule, as you know, I started a new part-time job this past couple of weeks, so that's keeping me busy. But also, I've still got time in the mornings and evenings to do Get Indie Gaming and, of course, this podcast.
Absolutely. Good. Well, I did actually finish a game last night. I might have been up till 2 o'clock in the morning, but don't worry about that.
Nice.
There was a game came out last year, and it's called Into a Dream. And it's an indie game, of course.
Yeah, and I know this one.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually had the developer, which is Felipe Thomas.
Yeah.
Again, Portuguese. Sorry about the pronunciation. Oh, that's definitely wrong. But I had him on because obviously I had the podcast before this, my own podcast. So I had him on, and I interviewed him on before. And really, really nice guy. Really fantastic guy. And this is his first ever game. Completely his first ever game.
Wow.
So he was telling me a story about it, really cool. And he's done everything himself. And I was talking to him, and he was saying about, you know, the roles in the game and stuff he has to outsource, you know, little bits of stuff here and there. And then he said to me, oh, I need a voice part acting. Would you mind? He said, I need a British voice. And I said, I really like your voice. Could you record this little clip for me? I was like, yeah.
Again. You keep coming every single week so far. You've dropped in this little bit of, I'm famous, I'm an influencer.
It's amazing.
Now you're a voice actor.
I'm a voice actor now, yeah. Don't you know?
Are you in Equity? Yeah. Have you joined the union?
No, I'm a solo man.
Well, you best keep quiet about that, and I'll come knocking on your door. I think that's how it works. Congratulations.
But I'd never actually... Because this is the other thing I wanted to talk about. Sorry, let me come back to that. Right, okay. So the game, you are drop-shipped into the mind of a severely depressed man. So your world that you're running around in is actually his mind and his dreams. So
right.
Weird okay. stuff. So you're like trying to find out why is he so depressed and why is he not responding. So the last resort, they've just dropped you in to try and figure out from the inside. Really cool sort of idea. And it's just about you exploring his mind inside and stuff. You see like bits of story, and it's kind of like broken up stories. So you're seeing like stuff from the past, stuff from the future, and you're trying to piece together the order of stuff that's happened. And then the story just unfolds. And it's only about 4 hours long, so you can do it in one sitting.
It's relatively short, and it's talking about the relationships, mental illness, and the connections between all that. Is it heavy? Because that sounds like a little bit of something that you go into it and think, oof.
Yeah, it gets quite dark and quite heavy towards the end. And there are some like flashing lights and stuff, so you do have to be a bit careful, you know, if you've got any epilepsy or anything. So just watch out for that. But really enjoyable. Real takes you on a nice journey, and it made me want to finish it in one sitting, which is a good sign.
Oh, brilliant.
And at the moment on Steam, it's got like a massive sale on Steam at the minute. It's like, it's only about £3 something at the minute. It's a huge discount. So if you want to check it out, then
I think I might have to, I'll have a look at that one. Sometimes I go into those games and think, oh dear, that's a little bit too much. I want to be entertained when I play video games.
Yeah.
Necessarily taken down a few levels, but
yeah, it's a hard line to sort of keep on the right side of. But it was interesting enough when
those games do those games well, it can be absolutely incredible. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to have a look at that as well.
Yeah. But the other thing I wanted to mention about that is because the reason why I hadn't finished it was because I thought, I want to hear my voice. I want to hear my little clip. So I played it. I thought, where is it? But because I played the demo, I'm finding a lot of the games, some of the demos are too long. And I'm finding myself playing the demo and I almost feel like I've got enough out of the demo to not bother playing the full game. So I think it's really, I think it's quite key. I don't know if people think about how long the demo should be, but I think they might be getting a bit long.
Now that's interesting. I had a same conversation a few weeks ago with a developer when we were discussing the role of the demo in Kickstarter campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you need a decent demo to be anywhere likelihood to get anywhere close to getting your goals for Kickstarter. I've stopped covering Kickstarter of late simply because I was getting tired with some of the games that were coming up there, and also being part of that PR team by proxy, by giving weight to some of them. And I mean, I've backed some games 5, 6, 7 years ago that they've never seen the light of day.
Yeah.
So if I do go back to do the Kickstarter coverage, I'll be doing a lot more due diligence in terms of who's making the game, all that sort of stuff, but demos. And the guy was saying, he wanted the demos to be no longer than somebody would wait before turning away from the queue when there's only one person in front of you at a conference.
Okay.
So he said people will wait X number of minutes.
Yeah.
And in that time, he said maybe 7 to 10, which I think's short.
That is short.
That is short. And yeah, he said, right, I want to get everything. He was talking about an action roguelike game. So he said, I can get a demo up and running that is, say, 3/4 of the way in. I've given people a hint of the character, the storyline, what's going on, and that should whet the appetite. But you're right, some of the demos can be hours long.
I've played, 4 hours. I've played nearly half the game as a demo in some of them I've played. And, and again, a lot of them are indies. I'm like, you need to trim that. You really need to trim that because...
So that's the demo, not in early access.
Yeah. I've played demos. There was 8 levels in a game and I had the first 4. I was like, this is way too long.
unless they're going to do some chopping and changing within. That's too long.
Yeah.
I have a rule, no more than 30 minutes if I'm playing a demo at home. If I'm at a convention, it's probably 10 before I'll go, thank you very much, and then head off because there's 300 other games to go and have a look at.
Yeah, I'd like to see some sort of research or some studies done on what a successful demo is classed as, or even a poll, how long before you start getting, because you want to be like, oh, it's finished. If I'm not feeling like that at the end, it was too long. Because
like
I'm
the Tunic demo.
Yeah.
When you finish the Tunic demo, you think, oh, I want more.
And that's how it should be. And then that's
definitely
that should be the only bit you get until it's released.
I think this is a really interesting topic. And maybe I can have a chat with that guy again to see if we can get him on the podcast to talk about demos.
Yeah. It's like, I almost think that you might be better off releasing a demo that's completely separate to the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other problem I'm having is that they give you the first level, first 2 levels. And then when the game comes out, you think, oh, I've got to do those 2 levels again sometimes. You think, oh, that was hard work. Well, that was a good fun, but it was hard. And I've got to do all that again from the start. And then I'm thinking, oh, geez. I'd almost prefer a little completely custom-made level that's just for the demo and that's all. And then when the game comes out, you get a whole brand new world to explore.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times. Again, just to reiterate, at conventions where you play a convention-only demo, which has a very different, it has a start and as an end. I mean, I think it might have been the Tunic demo all the way back when people were spending so long on it that he then changed the demo so it was time limited.
Yep.
Which for me, as a busy person, that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
So that's great. Finished up that game. I don't know if you've played or heard of a game that came out last week called Elekhead.
Yeah, I've heard of it, not seen it.
Elekhead, again, we'll put a link down in the description. This is one of the best puzzling games I've played in years. And it's so clever. It's all wordless. Even the Steam homepage has no words on it.
Wow.
It's very minimal in what it tells you that you're doing. And it uses GIFs on the page to give you a sense of the gameplay and how you're going to play it. And essentially, you're a character that your head is electric and you interact with the environment by way of your head or body touching the surface, which then gives an affordance to an object, for example, pulleys, levers, that sort of stuff.
I see.
It is so, so clever. And it makes you, the player, think, my God, I'm smart, when you figure out what it is that you're doing. Again, it's not long. I played through it in the course of a long afternoon. I did have to walk away from the PC, though, at one point, because I thought, I cannot solve this puzzle.
Yeah.
And then, just like coding, I often found if you walk away, have a think, the idea pops into your head. And the solution came to me when I was halfway down the road going for a little stroll. And I just turned around and kind of semi-jogged back home to play this game again. Impressive. And I did fix it.
Wow.
And it was one of the moments where I was punching in the air for excitement. I absolutely adored this game. It's less than a tenner as well.
Yeah, it's $7.99 at the minute on Steam.
$7.99 on Steam. And I haven't seen the reviews. I'm guessing it's mostly positive.
Very positive, apparently. It does look great. Really nice color palette as well. Really simple.
And you can change that color palette.
Oh, amazing, really.
And again, there's no instructions. There are instructions, but there's no words to the instructions. It's just so beautifully signposted with no text.
There's no description at all on the Steam page.
No, there's nothing.
It just says buy a Leckhead.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those games that I can't rate high enough. Again, I thought about this many times last week. It's the game that, again, I think I wish I had made this game because it's just so beautifully done,
yeah,
put together. The package, it's an utter triumph. And I just hope more people get to play this brilliant game. It's for me, I keep saying game of the year. There's so many games of the year, but there's no way this won't be in the top 10 for me. It's a stunning achievement. I adore it.
Yeah, it looks lovely. It looks really cool. Okay, well, the other game I played was Lost in Random. Have you tried this?
I have, yes. Interested to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, do you know what? Again, obviously the artwork, it looks gorgeous. That's an easy one to get past. It looks fantastic. I was getting a little bit frustrated with it's very much a story on rails. You think you're playing a platformer, but you're not really. You can only go where it wants you to go, you know, down the path.
It's like Jet for me, same sort of thing, except slightly different.
Yeah, the story's intriguing. It's a cool idea. I like it. But little things were starting to bug me with... it gives you a little tip that pops up. We know when you go into a new area, it comes up a little tool tip. You know, if you do this and this, this will happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, okay. The tool tip disappears before I can finish reading it.
Oh, right. And okay.
I'm like, hang on. What was that? And it's gone. And then
I'm only half an hour or so into this game. It does. It looks beautiful. It's from Thunderful again. And it's published by EA. So it's got some credentials there, shall we speak. So this is definitely a kind of a AA sort of game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. But I'm enjoying it. I mean, like I said, I played it for about an hour and a half, and I really enjoyed it, and it was growing on me the more I was playing it. And I think I thought it was more of a platform adventure game, but it isn't. It's a story rails game, really. There's a few puzzles that are totally pointless. Like, they've just, like, shoehorned the puzzle in to me. It didn't really make the story any... didn't give me anything. It just made me press three buttons for the sake of it, just to give me a puzzle to do.
Okay. It seems to have been reviewed reasonably well.
Yeah.
IGN of calling it, you know, a wholly original action-adventure game that thinks outside the box.
Yeah, well, I'm not getting that. I think the story is what really drives it. The uniqueness of the world they've created with all the dice and the random events, really clever. That is beautiful, you know.
See, that's what I've taken from it so far.
Yeah.
Is the dice and the randomness.
Yeah.
Hence the name Lost in Random. Yeah,
perfect name. So that is really good, and that is growing on me. Now I've got to the bit where you sort of get your other stuff that happens. I'm not going to tell you, and that's making a bit more sense now with the randomness. But some of the mechanics are a little bit frustrating for me.
Oh, there we go. Well, I'll definitely go and have to have another look at that. And also got the winner of the best indie game at this Gamescom just gone. So back in August. So it's, again, people like it, but this is the joys of video games and its subjectivity of what we like and what we don't like.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely growing me. The longer I was playing it, the more I was enjoying it and getting past those few little niggles. So I'm going to keep playing it, and I'll give you an update next week on where I'm at with it.
Yeah, this is another great week for new indie games and games in general coming out. So I'm really looking forward to getting stuck in to some of the games that are coming out. I'm also going to spend this coming week a lot more time with Unity. So maybe I can talk at semi-length next week into what I've done, because I don't think I'll achieve what I achieved in Dreams, because it's just not that system.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such a shame. I wish I could export from Dreams, because I'd be using that, as I've alluded to already today. That would easily be my go-to engine.
Well, yeah, I don't have the patience to. I've messed around with engines. I just don't have the patience.
Well, there we go. I think that seems like a decent place to wrap up episode 3 of our fledgling little podcast.
It does, absolutely. And now the website is actually active now. So if you do want to send us an email or contact us, the best way is via the website, which is accesspoint.gg. There's a contact form on there for you. And again, where can they find you, Stuart? Where's the best place?
You find me via there or the Twitter feed, which is at getindiegaming. I always stutter over that phrase there. Or the YouTube channel, which again, just search anywhere where you do your searches and getindiegaming will pop up.
Absolutely. And if you want to find me, I'm IndieGamiex on Twitter and on YouTube. And that wraps up episode number 3 of Access Point.